Well, and everybody said amen because we're out of the Believe series. You can say amen. It's okay. You can do that. It was a great series. Well, that's a good encouragement. Thank you. I haven't talked to Pastor Cody, but I trust that last week he had some great words of encouragement for you. And this week, we want to start in a summer series on Jesus and the parables he spoke. So the teachings of Jesus. So the first parable we're going to look at this morning is the sower, the parable of the sower, or the soils. And we'll find that in Mark chapter 13 this morning, or Matthew 13 this morning. If you want to turn there in your scriptures, Matthew 13, we want to look at this. We want to see what Jesus had to say. We know that Jesus spoke many different ways. He spoke clearly and plainly to his disciples. But in a lot of ways, he spoke mainly to the crowds in stories, which is a parable. And we're going to go through why he did that, maybe why he did not do that, and some questions we want to ask ourselves as we go through this parable is, one, why wouldn't God be more selective in what soil he allows his seed to be planted in? Think about that question, okay? Because as we read this, you'll read about different soils. Why isn't God more selective in the soil that he plants a seed in? Another one is, and why did Jesus tell only this parable but not explain the parable to the crowds? Why did he do that? And then another question would be this. If Jesus were to come back today, would he find you sowing seed? Would he find you sowing seed? And finally, with that, what condition would he find your heart in? What condition would he find your heart in? So let's read the parable, and then we'll expand on that. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky ground, where there wasn't much soil, and they sprang up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered. Others fell among thorns, and thorns came up and choked them. Still others fell on good ground and produced a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Anyone who has ears should listen." Then the disciples came up and asked him, "Why do you speak to them, the crowds, in parables?" He answered them, "Because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them." Now, if you mark your Bibles, you would want to mark that section. Because he's just given his answer to the purpose why he speaks in parables. "Because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you to know, but it's not given to them to know." There should be a question going off in your mind. What's the question? Why would he not want them to know, right? The secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Continue on verse 12. "For whoever has more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Now this would be a confusing area, right? What is that all about? "For whoever has more will be given to him and will have more than enough." Understanding. "But whoever does not have, even what he has learnt or understood will be taken away from him. For this reason I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, in hearing they do not listen or understand. Therefore, Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says this: you will listen and listen, yet never understand. And you will look and look, yet never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would cure them. So what do you hear there? What is Jesus saying? He's saying these people don't want to hear what I have to say. I can speak, and they can be there listening, but they don't really want to hear. They don't really want to understand. So I speak to them in parables. Their heart, you know, we listen with our ears and we see with our eyes, but you know what? We really listen with our heart and we see with our heart. Because he links everything back to it. These people's hearts have grown callous. Everything goes through the heart. If your heart, the soil, is good, then you would see, then you would hear, and you would turn back to me, and I would cure them. But he says, these people don't want to hear that. Just as in Isaiah's time, speaking to the Israelites, just in Jesus' time, they didn't want to hear. They thought it was amusing. It was fun to listen to Jesus, and you know, he was good entertainment. Because he gave the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes a hard time. Let's go listen to what he has to say. But they weren't going there to understand and apply. They were going there to be entertained. So Jesus continues on, verse 16. But your eyes are blessed because they do see. He's talking to the Pharisees, to the disciples. And your ears because they do hear. Your heart is ready. It's prepared. It's open. For I assure you, many prophets and righteous people long to see the things you see, yet didn't see them. To hear the things you hear, yet didn't hear them. Who's he talking about? Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Haggai. You know, the last prophets, they hang around the corner, no one visits. He's talking about all these guys. You know what? They never got to experience myself in a living person. To hear the things that I would say. To see the things that I would do. But you have. And you are privileged amongst many people. He goes on and he says, this is what the parable of the sower means. So here's a division from the crowd to the disciples. There's a change in context. Now he's sitting down with the disciples specifically. This is why. You then listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and he immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but is short-lived. When pressure or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the seduction of wealth choke off the word and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does bear fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. A man walked into a flower shop and asked for some potted red geraniums. I'm sorry, said the clerk. We are completely sold out of all our potted geraniums. But I'd be more than happy to give you a deal on something else. Could you use African violets instead? The customer replied sadly, no, it was geraniums that my wife told me to water while she was gone.
Lots of identification out there, I hear. We've had that in our house as well. You'd like to think that a simple task like watering plants wouldn't be too hard for a person, right? But many of us, I can hear speaking from experience, sympathize with this man. Watering plants just doesn't do it for us, right? If we want some vegetables or flowers, well, we'll simply go down to the flower shop or the grocery store and get some, right? For some, flowers and plants are a treasure. For others, not so much. But when you think of things, somebody has to have grown the vegetables and the plants that you buy at the store. How do they do that? Back in the days of Jesus, when you went out farming, I know a lot about farming, you can tell, right? You got the hoe, you got the big rake that goes out, tills up the ground. I don't know what these technical terms are. So, but I just come by them by what I could explain them as. And you got the seeder that comes down and drops everything. Everything's computerized today. You can, I know this, you can have your field mapped out by using GPS, and you can follow a straight line now, right? And you can plant everything, so everything comes up just nice in straight rows and everything like that. Back in Jesus' time, if you were a farmer and you're living in Israel, okay, Israel isn't the greatest place for farming. Some rocky soil, some dry soil, some weedy soil, and some real good soil. If you're a farmer, what would you do back then? Well, you would just cast it out. They didn't have the tools that we had today, so you'd have a bag and reach into your bag and just throw the seed out, right? This is the picture that we have that Jesus is explaining this parable to the crowd about. What is the word? Anybody in this parable? What is the seed? I give it away. It's the word. The seed is the word, right? Who is the sower? God. God's the sower. Real basic stuff, right? This is the first parable that Jesus gives. And when you read this parable, it's interesting if you read it in Mark, and you read it in Luke, and you read it in John. It's in each of those books. He says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all the remaining ones? What does that say? You need to understand this parable. Understand this parable, and it's a key for everything else. So this is an important parable. So, Jesus says, a farmer went out to sow, and he threw his seed, and it landed on a path that was hard. It landed on a place that was rocky, that had little soil. It was like there was rocks underneath and there's this little thin layer of soil on top, like some of the properties that we buy with our new houses, right? You go and you buy a house and you go, oh, look, that backyard looks fantastic. And then after a few months, you notice that the soil is only about that much and there's like that much clay, right? Well, what happens when you try to plant something on that? Sun comes out, kills it, right? Right away. It dries up unless you water it. There's a third soil that has lots of weeds in it. Okay, the soil is ready to take stuff, but it's already taken into weeds. He casts seed into there, and it grows, and it gets choked off by the weeds. And then the fourth soil we see is good soil. Good soil that is productive in abundance and produces 160, 30 times more than the seed that you planted. What's that a picture of? What's the soil? Anybody? It's your heart. Your soil is your heart. So Jesus is telling us there's four kinds of hearts in the world. In each man, woman, and child, there's a heart that is prepared, that is ready to take his word. there's a heart that is calloused, that is scarred, that is locked, and nothing is getting in, and it's just going to sit on top. And when that happens, the enemy comes along and takes the seed, and nothing grows. There's a second one where there's a little bit of soil there. And when you plant that seed there, that person takes it and runs with it, receives it with joy and excitement. But when the sun comes out of trial and tribulation and persecution, what happens? It dies just as quickly as it was received. It's rejected. It doesn't penetrate deep. So this parable is about the heart. It's about the seed that Jesus sows, that God sows, and the condition of people's hearts in receiving it. And that for you and me, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as followers of Christ, when we sow seed, when we go out and we spread the gospel, we should not be surprised that the gospel that we sow is rejected. That sometimes people persevere with it for a little bit, but then turn away. That sometimes you throw that seed, and it seems to be in really good ground, but you know what? People get winded and twisted into the things of the world. There's competing desires. That old man that was there before still remains, but that new seed has been planted and it's been accepted, but there's a tug of war going on between that person. It's in the process of transforming. And if we don't take care to water and to fertilize and to take care of that seed, that, you know, when it's a young plant, that's when they're most susceptible to being crushed from the rain and from hail and from wind, all that kind of stuff. Well, if we don't take care to nourish it, to fertilize it correctly, to give it just enough amount of water, that thing will die. It says there's these conditions of the heart in these four different people in the world. We are to go cast seed, the gospel. We're to share that with individuals. If we don't preach the gospel, then how will people know who Jesus is? Scripture says. So we have soil is the heart, we have the seed, which is the word of God, and we have the sower, which is God, but also is who? His representatives, the church. It's us. So there's your elements in your parable. A couple things that may strike us as odd in this story. One is that God is not concerned about the soil he scatters the seed to. He's indiscriminate about that. Think about that. God is not concerned about the soil that he scatters the seed to. He just scatters it. That's the picture. A farmer comes along, the sower comes along, and he casts the seed. He throws the seed because, you know what? He never knows where that seed may germinate. May come to cultivation. It may be in those places that you least expect persons to grab onto Christ. Right? When Jesus was ministering on the earth, he came into the churches. He came into the Pharisees and Sadducees and ministered to the people there. But what happened, curiously? He was put to death, wasn't he? Because he brought the truth to those that thought they knew best. That we would think, oh, that person would make a great Christian, right? You got that person in your mind, go, oh, if only they could be there, man. They'd be awesome. It would be so great to have you on my team. But that person that we think, maybe not so great, Maybe we've made this decision in our mind, well, they don't deserve to have eternal life. Would we make that call? Hopefully not. Because God is not discriminatory in who he offers the gospel to. He gives it and hands it out to everybody. But the choice to whether or not to accept the seed is whose? It's ours. Ours. So just think about this for a minute. The seed is the word of God. The seed belongs to God. Now, since the seed belongs to God, don't you think that he would be a little bit more selective about which soil gets his gift? But that's not how it plays out. The footpath and the rocky soil and the weedy soil, they all get a shot at the seed. Well, think about that. Why? A missionary team went to Mexico to plant churches. As they were driving across the desert and up into the mountains, they could not help but noticing all the rocks scattered across the land. Kind of like Sudbury, Ontario. There were millions of them. Rocks the size of your fist, the size of softballs, the size of watermelons, rocks the size of small buildings. Don't want to exaggerate. There were rocks everywhere. When the host missionaries were asked about it, they laughed and said, yes, they say that's the one thing that grows well in this land, is rocks. Well, when they got to Zaragoza, they passed by one of the few gardens there, and it had corn growing in a plot the size of a big backyard in North America. But you know what? There was rocks scattered throughout the garden plot. Somebody asked, why would the farmer plant corn in such a rock-filled yard? Well, if the man wanted a crop, he had to scatter seed in the land that he had. What's the land that you have? That's where you scatter seed. And then what happens? You let God do with it as he does. You trust that God will use the seed and bear fruit. The farmer in the Jesus parable did the same thing. He scattered seed all over the land that he had, trusting that the seed would bear fruit. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11, God declares this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Got that underlined? Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. You are part in that. You sow seed. It's not your responsibility to make sure that, you know, that person comes into the kingdom. That's God's. That's between that person and God. But you have a responsibility to throw seed. And to maybe water it. And to maybe one of you, you might have the opportunity to harvest on the Lord's behalf. But he says, my seed, my word, if you spread that and it goes forth, it'll achieve what I desire to achieve. Some may come to know me, some may not. But that's not your worry. That's his. Does that take some of the pressure off about sharing the gospel? Does it? Yeah? That's what we're supposed to do. Share the gospel. The power of God's seed, the word of God, scatters all over the earth because it has power to take root in the harshest ground. And once it takes root, it can bear fruit. You guys remember Taylor's testimony and Taylor's report of the work done in Australia, right? And in Paradise Valley, I don't think that's what it's called, Fortitude Valley. I get the two mixed up. Hey. But she shared that story about the two strippers that her and her friends shared the word with. They're no longer
involved in that. And one's even coming to the base now and getting to know who Christ is. How many do you think people would come out of that industry with God sharing the word and simply three kids going down, obeying what the God has told them to do and sharing the word? That's amazing. But that's what God tells us to do. All of us are meant to recruit disciples. God doesn't care the condition of the soil. He says, throw the seed. We are meant to recruit disciples for Jesus, and this recruitment is to be indiscriminate, Pastor R.T. Kendall says. We do not know whom God has chosen, whom God will bring into his kingdom, but we are simply responsible to spread the gospel to all the people, trusting that God will do with it as he will. We don't share the gospel only with those that we think will respond or who we like or think would make a fine addition. That's God's job. Our responsibility is to sow seed. Isaiah 53:2 says this, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of what? Dry ground. He had no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Who is that spoken about? Jesus. You see, Jesus wasn't Mr. GQ. He wasn't that guy that you would walk up to and go, "Hey, Kimball, you look awesome. You should be on my side," right? He didn't do that. That's not who Jesus was. Jesus was that guy that you would walk away from, that you didn't want to hang around with. Maybe he smelled. Maybe he didn't comb his hair or trim his beard. You know, maybe he wasn't that picture that, you know, those pictures we see of Jesus. You know, he's got this nice smile on his face. You know, and he's holding a lamb. Is that your picture of Jesus? Paints a different picture here when you read what Scripture says. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. What does esteemed him not mean? Didn't look upon him. He was Mr. Nobody. You know? There are churches who only want people in their building that are good soil. There are churches who only want children from good homes. There are churches that only want couples that dress nice. There are churches that only want young people rather than old. There are churches that want people of significance and influence that will make them look good and pay the bills. But was that the kind of people Jesus looked at? No. He looked at all people. Jesus spent time with prostitutes, tax collectors, and sinners. How many of us are sinners? All of us. So God doesn't seem to be concerned about what soil his seed falls on. He's confident of the power of the seed. The soil doesn't matter. It's the harvest that he's looking for. The best soils were the ones that yielded that harvest of 30, 60 to 100 times. These soils had prepared hearts, open hearts, hearts that did not have their minds made up as to how things were or how they should be already. They knew that they didn't know everything. They knew there was something more. Something that just didn't make sense. Something that was maybe just a little bit off. It wasn't a perfect click. There had to be something more than just mere religion or science or the best learned scholars and schools and teachers. And then came Jesus. Who is that guy? He tells some really good stories that are amusing, but you know what? Yeah. Good entertainment. You're the Son of God? Really? And they were looking for the Messiah.
How many of us, if Jesus was to walk in that door, we'd go, "Ah, you're the Messiah." If he proclaimed he was the Messiah, how many would you go, "Awesome"? Would we? Maybe he didn't look the way that we thought he should look. Maybe he didn't act the way we think that he should act. Maybe he didn't say things the way that we thought he would say them. This is what the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Israelites heard and saw. He didn't match. What would you do if Jesus walked in and you met him? Question is, am I scattering God's seed? And have I allowed his seed to take root in my heart? Have I done that? Second thing that seems odd in this is the whole thing that Jesus speaks in parables to the crowd. Why would he do that? Why would he not speak plainly to them? Because they weren't going to receive it. Some have speculated that Jesus used parables to get people's attention. Sure. That's why a pastor or a storyteller will use stories, right? We try to keep you out of that food coma, right? That, the glazed look. So we try to come up with good stories. And some of us are successful, some aren't. To keep people interested. To hear what God has to say. But there's a deeper reason why Jesus told parables to people. He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven will be given to you, but not to them. Whoever will be given more will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Our girls, growing up, we would have this thing with them, and it would go like this. "You can't see me. You can't see me." Is that how many of us stand before God and go, "You can't see me. You can't see me. I can't hear you." Right? Your kids ever done that? Do you ever do that? Sure. "Can't hear you, God. Not doing it. Not doing it today. Not doing it tomorrow." Right? I don't see that person. I'm just going to pass right on by. That's the person standing out there looking for some change. I don't see them. First glance, you might think that Jesus told parables because he didn't want anybody to understand what he was saying. But that's not what Matthew's telling us. He's not saying that people didn't want to hear or see God's truth necessarily. He was being realistic. Jesus is saying they don't want to hear. They don't want to understand. So speak to them in parables. It's kind of like going, "Why waste my time?" But that's not the thing here. Cause curiosity. You know what? If you come out and you try to tell somebody if they're doing something wrong, and you come out and you tell them, "You're doing it wrong," how likely are they to accept that from you? Do they get defensive? How, you know, if you have a child, I have four, and you go, "You're doing that wrong," what happens? You know, "Well, no, I'm not." Or you get the silent protest, right? They're looking at you and going, "You can tell me everything you want to tell me, but I'm not changing my mind." Right? They're sitting in obedience, but standing up inside in protest. That's what Jesus is saying. You get this blank stare back. The words hearing and understanding are important to recognize in the passage because people do not want to hear, meaning to comprehend and do. That's what that word is. We don't want to comprehend and do. We don't want to figure it out. We don't want to put the pieces together and go, is this a possibility? Ezekiel 33, 31, and 32 says this. It's a prophecy. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act, their heart is set on their own gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Do you think a prophet was among them in Jesus' time? That's what Jesus was saying. I quote this. It's what Ezekiel said. It's coming true. How many like what Jesus says, but will not do as he wishes? How many are fans of Jesus, cheering him on, but aren't engaged in following in the thrill of the fight? King Herod was one of those. Who was King Herod? Remember? Who was King Herod? Well, the other one. Not that one, but the other one. John the Baptist, right? His wife was Jezebel. What did Jezebel want Herod to do? Kill John the Baptist. Because he said some awful things and did some awful things to me. Take his life. But you know what? King Herod wouldn't take his life. Because why? He knew that he was a righteous and holy man. And it says he would not kill him. It says even that Herod enjoyed listening to John. And even became perplexed with anxiety listening to John about things that he said to him. So John wasn't saying niceties to him the whole time. He was telling him the truth. But you know, Herod never followed him. Did he not understand? Not likely, because John was a good communicator. And he would have spoken to him in parables like Jesus told him and taught him to. That's where I think the perplexity came from. Herod was an outsider with no real intention of changing his ways. How do we know that? Because when Jezebel's daughter came and said, I want John the Baptist's head, what happened? She got his head. Do we want to do what Jesus tells us to do? Is the question. False teachers liked the parables and the people of that time, but they just didn't want to do what they were told. They had eyes to see, but they refused to see. They had ears to hear, but they refused to hear for various reasons. Do we have various reasons for not seeing God who he is and hearing what he says? Here's an important principle to take away. A word which is only heard is easy prey for the evil one to steal away. So, challenge is this. You know from Scripture that you're to cast seed. Each one of us is to cast seed. Now, as we go home and walk out that door, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to cast seed? Or are we just going to forget about it? Because the moment you walk out that door, the enemy's waiting to take that away. To take any encouragement or boldness that you might have in doing that. He wants to prey on that. Because he doesn't want God's kingdom to increase. He wants it to be dilapidated. He's going to fight. So what do we take from that? We have the Spirit that walks with us. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Spirit to be with you in all ways, at all times. To remind you of everything that I said to you and everything I told you, and to encourage you with boldness. The big thing out of this parable into today is this. Is it not a miracle that anybody walks with Jesus today? It's the encouragement. God says, go out and cast seed, and people will come. He says, it's my job. It's my word that does not return void. Go and cast seed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your parable this morning. Lord, thank you for the teaching that you've led me through and to share with others. Father, I pray that we would grasp this and understand it with our hearts, Lord. That all these parables, all these stories you've told through the centuries and are retold today and tomorrow and yesterday is about your kingdom and the response of people. That the pressure is not for us to bring them into the kingdom, but it's the scatter seed. Share the gospel, and you'll bring the harvest then. Thank you for the privilege to do that. It's all about you. It's not about us. It's about your kingdom. In your name we pray, Lord.